What we want to talk about is the evil person by the name of Yuval Harari. I've entitled this Yuval Harari, the Oracle for the Digital Dictatorship. He has been called in many circles a prophet, not a prophet, a Bible prophet, but a prophet of doom, a prophet of evil, a prophet for Satan is what I would say. But anyway, he is a Jewish vegan, he's openly gay, he's a pro-transhumanist, and he is obsessed with rejecting God and the God of his fathers, the Jews. He is obsessed with trying to turn humans into gods. He is the lead advisor to Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, the ones that are bringing in the Great Reset, or the, what we call the New World Order, the globalist government as predicted in Scripture. And when you hear Harari speak, his words are Antichrist-esque. He speaks like a dragon. The things that he wants to do sounds familiar, very familiar, with eventually what the Antichrist will do in the future. Although he is not the Antichrist, he definitely has the spirit of Antichrist, or the spirit of lawlessness, working through him. We can definitely see with his evil ideas, the same kind of evil ideas that the Antichrist would have. It is on that same level, basically to enslave humanity. And so today, on today's broadcast, we're going to examine this guy. I'm going to let him speak to you, because I have many, many clips I want to show you, so that you can hear out of his own words what he is saying and what he's thinking and why so many people are gravitating to him. In fact, some of the most powerful people in the world go to him. For instance, Darshana Narayanan states in one of his articles, they come to him much like the ancient kings to their oracles. Darshana points out in his article called The Dangerous Populist Science of Yuval Noah Harari on the website currentaffairs.org, he points out that people like Mark Zuckerman ask Harari if humanity is becoming more unified or fragmented by technology. The managing director of the International Monetary Fund has asked him if doctors will depend on universal basic income in the future. The CEO of Axel Springer, one of the largest publishing houses in Europe, asked Harari what publishers should do to succeed in the digital world. An interviewer with the United Nations Educational, Science, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, asked him what effect COVID would have on international scientific cooperation. And again, so all these people of the world are coming to him for advice. So he becomes one of the most dangerous people on the planet. And so Harari has wrote best-selling books, like the book Sapiens, that talks about algorithms will control us, then Homo Deus, A Brief History of Tomorrow, and 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. And so his books have sold all over the planet. He has 23 million copies sold worldwide. And so he has a lot of influence on the people of this world, especially the powerful global elites. So the issue is, if this guy is speaking into the ear of the global elites, which I believe is the spirit of Antichrist working through him, what does this guy believe? And so I'm going to show you what he believes by the things he has said. I'm going to show you multiple clips. And at the end of the day, I think you will see that the spirit of Antichrist is in this guy. He's not the Antichrist, but he definitely is an oracle for the Antichrist. He's a forerunner of saying, you want to know how the Antichrist is going to think? He's going to think like Harari. That's how he's going to think. And so this is important to study this guy. Like I've said before, he is an atheist, technocratic elite. And he believes in what we call scientism. Because he's an atheist, he hates God, the God of the Bible, of Judaism and Christianity. He hates the God of the Bible. And so he believes in scientism. Scientism is turning science into a religion. And that's what a lot of these global elites have. That the only experts that they listen to are those in science, right? So the scientists are the experts. And all the scientists do is they have data. And we make our decisions based on data, not based on morality, that scientism, right? It's devoid of spirituality. It's devoid of supernatural things. It's all based on science, right? And so that's the kind of person he is. First of all, he's not just apathetic to religion. He's openly hostile to discredit two main religions. He discredits Judaism and Christianity. In fact, he says that these ancient people just invented it. And those are the things that control us today. So again, I never hear him attack Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, even though this guy claims to meditate like a Buddhist. He never attacks any other religion other than Judaism and Christianity. I wonder why. And I think all of you can read into that. He is attacking the God of the Bible, right? That's who he doesn't like. Very Antichrist-esque. But anyway, watch this video. And basically, he is saying that we have been enslaved by the religion of Judaism and Christianity of the past, and that they're not eternal truths, but human creations. Watch this.
The past controls us through various stories that ancient people invented, and we still believe. We think about ourselves as belonging to a certain nation, like Israel or Brazil, and we believe in a certain religion, like Judaism or Christianity. So, when I ask myself, who am I? I might reply that I'm Israeli, I'm Jewish. Yet, all these nations and religions are fairly recent developments. While humans have been around for more than 2 million years, none of our nations and religions is more than a few thousand years old. Brazilians, no Portuguese, no Chinese. Judaism is only 3,000 years old. Christianity is about 2,000 years old. And even after they appeared, all these religions have undergone repeated changes. The Judaism or Christianity of today are very different from what they were 1,000 years ago. They are not eternal truth, but rather human creations. So history is not about the past, it is about the present. The past is gone. All the people who lived in the past are dead, and we cannot go back there. If history is just a study of the past, it's irrelevant. If two men love one another, how does this harm anyone, and why should this be bad? Even if there is a God, no good God will punish people for love.
You don't have any answer in the Bible what to do when humans are no longer useful to the economy. You need completely new ideologies, completely new religions, and they are likely to emerge from Silicon Valley or from Bangalore and not from the Middle East. And they are likely to give people visions based on technology. Everything that the old religions promised, happiness and justice and even eternal life, but here on earth with the help of technology and not after death, with the help of some supernatural being.
So as you can see, he has a problem with Judaism and Christianity. Did you notice that he says that history is not about the past, but about the present? I thought we study history to know about the past. It's total illogic, right? But discounts history. And that's a typical left-wing Marxist communist tactic, is to forget history, to forget the heroes of the past, and start brand new where you're at. That's a classic move of leftism, but it is also a classic move of Satanism. Because Satan doesn't want anyone to remember history, especially biblical history. So if you can get people to erase history, then you got them. And that's what they're doing, not only in our culture, but this guy alone is doing it, which is satanic. And then did you notice he had to defend being gay all of a sudden? Because he knows the God of Israel and the God of, you know, the God of the church forbids homosexuality. And so he defends that and saying no good God would punish people for love. Well, apparently he doesn't know what love is. This is his kind of love is a satanic one. because God gets to define what love is and who you can and cannot love, per se. You cannot love another man in a marriage. That's called homosexuality or sodomy. And that's off limits. It's an abomination. You cannot love someone else's wife. That's called adultery. You cannot love someone to where you would have sex with them before marriage. That's called fornication, right? So there are boundaries on love. We all understand that. And you just can't say love is love. Not. God defines the boundaries of love in which that can operate. And unfortunately, he wants to defend his homosexuality. And no wonder he attacks the God of the Bible, right? Judaism and Christianity. So anyway, you can see where the guy's coming from. Anyway, he goes on in that clip to say that we need new religions, and they're going to basically come from the Silicon Valley, right? A technocratic religion, right? And basically, notice what he says, is that the technology is going to give us the ability to have eternal life here and now, not after we're dead, given by some supernatural being. I mean, this is as blasphemous as it gets, okay? This is very Antichrist-esque. And notice, like, when you read passages in Daniel 7 and other passages about the Antichrist, it keeps referring to him as pompous and arrogant, and he blasphemes the gods of heaven, the God of heaven. And that's what this guy does. He's arrogant, he's pompous, and he says things against the Most High. He's blaspheming God. Very Antichrist-esque, right? But to think about this from a spiritual level, this has been Satan's goal all along. His mission statement, Satan's mission statement, is found in Isaiah 14:14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's it. So when Satan works to an individual like Harari, they will try to ascend above the clouds. They will try to be like the Most High. They will first of all discount the Most High and then try to become like the Most High. So this guy is a card-carrying Satanist, basically. And so what he wants to implement through the Great Reset, through the globalism, is a technocratic global dictatorship. And so what did they need? They needed a crisis. And so, of course, the Charlie Oscar Victor Igloo Delta 1-9er came, and it was the moment that a new regime emerged, and that's his words. A regime of surveillance took over. Again, that's his words. That would lead a revolution of surveillance that would help usher in a global government. And so, anyway, listen to him explain this on this video clip.
In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste, because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to. But in a crisis, you see, we have no chance. So let's do it.
But this is the crucial revolution, and COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin. People could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most important development of the 21st century, is this ability to hack human beings, to go under the skin, collect biometric data, analyze it, and understand people better than they understand themselves. This, I believe, is maybe the most important event of the 21st century.
One option that some people talk about is that only a catastrophe can shake humankind and open the path to a real system of global governance. And they say that we can't do it before the catastrophe, but we need to start laying the foundations so that when the disaster strike, we can react quickly. But
people will just not have the motivation to do such a thing before the disaster strikes.
And like we have said before, this Charlie, Oscar, Victor, Igloo, Delta, 1-9er was a plandemic. And because of that, they needed something to usher in the Great Reset, and they got it. So it's funny that he talks about that. It's funny that we know what we know now, looking back. And so, he's right. It wasn't by accident. He talks that without something like that, they couldn't get the necessary surveillance that they wanted. And that's where it's going, right? Anyway, he then talks more about humans being prepared for the next evolutionary step that he calls digital evolution, right? And this digital evolution is unlike biological evolution. And by the way, biological evolution is a farce. It's not real. But atheists like him believe in evolution. But for him, apparently, it's too slow. And again, this I'm not going to get into how much of a fraud biological evolution is. But anyway, he wants to go to a digital evolution. And that's where they take technology and create humans 2.0, that these humans will be smarter and more powerful and have more capabilities because they're fused in their bodies with technology. So they're like a cyborg. They're like a, you know, the things you see in sci-fi movies, right? They're half human and half digital or whatever. And he calls this the digital evolution. And basically he goes on and says they're going to acquire godlike powers in doing so. Because like God, he and the rest of them will be creating and destroying like God. Basically upgrading humans into gods and having the power to re-engineer life. I mean, when you listen to him, it's like the serpent is speaking in the garden to Eve, saying, you can become like God. Now watch this video and listen to him talk about re-engineering life to become gods.
We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens, because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like? This will be decided by the people who own the data. Now, why is data so important? It's important because we've reached the point when we can hack not just computers, we can hack human beings and other organisms. Now, what do you need in order to hack a human being? You need two things. You need a lot of computing power, and you need a lot of data, especially biometric data. But control of data might enable human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it. All of life, for 4 billion years, dinosaurs, amoebas, tomatoes, humans, all of life was subject to the laws of natural selection and to the laws of organic biochemistry. But this is now about to change. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds, the IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud, these are the new driving forces of evolution. And at the same time, science may enable life, after being confined for 4 billion years to the limited realm of organic compounds, science may enable life to break out into the inorganic realm.
Now humans are developing even bigger powers than ever before. We are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into gods. We are acquiring, for instance, the power to re-engineer life.
That stuff just blows me away. I can't believe a human being is talking like this. But again, if you're inspired by Satan, of course you're going to talk like this. Harari once said, history began when humans invented gods, and will end when humans become gods. That is so blasphemous that humans just invented gods and now we're going to become gods. That is the lie from the garden. Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? And so in this new world that Harari and the globalists want to create, you will have these hybrid cyborgs running around and even some AI entities basically that will dominate the population. I guess like the Terminator or something like that, right? What are we talking about here? And they're going to mix in with the human population. Listen to this.
Earth will be populated or even dominated by entities that are not organic, that they don't breathe, they don't have emotions. Like the potential of AI is much, much bigger than any historical revolution. It's really a biological revolution.
And so Yuval is saying we're going to have these AI entities and they're going to be doing most of the jobs for us. And so what happens to all the humans where AI has taken their jobs, right? And we have this new techno-globalist dictatorship. Well, I guess they don't need us anymore. They don't need humans. Oh, okay. So watch what he says in relationship to this as far as what will humans be used for?
I don't have any answer in the Bible what to do when humans are no longer useful to the economy. You need completely new ideologies, completely new religions, and they are likely to emerge from Silicon Valley or from Bangalore and not from the Middle East. And they are likely to give people visions based on technology. Everything that the old religions promised, happiness and justice and even eternal life, but here on earth with the help of technology and not after death with the help of some supernatural being. Then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
Do you have an answer in the book?
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games.
So as you can see, there's going to be a major segment of the population in the world to come that humans will be useless. Useless eaters. Useless air breathers, right? And so you saw in the clip, he says, well, we're going to do all these useless humans. He says, well, drugs and video games, basically. But I can tell you further what they will do. They will just kill them eventually, especially in the tribulation of the Antichrist. If they're useless, they'll just kill them. That's what every communist, fascist, socialistic regime has ever done to human beings who, in their minds, are useless. They kill them. They gas them. They put them in gulags. They get rid of them. And so this is what he is saying, that it's coming in the new technocratic global system. They're going to have all these useless humans. And I can guarantee you, with evil running this course, evil will want to kill them. That's the way it goes. Then he goes on to say that humans are hackable animals. They have no soul. There's no free will. Free will is an illusion because they're nothing but an animal. And so he's talking about being able to hack the human brain. This is scary, but this is their way of controlling us and controlling how we think. Watch this.
Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's over.
So here's what I want to say to Harari. Which is it? Are we animals or we're going to turn into gods with this new AI power? But let me take a guess. The elites will have all the power, and all the rest of us will be the animals. I got it. But again, treating humans as like a piece of software that you can hack into, there's no valuing of human life at this point in time if they just hack into us. And this thing about no free will, if we have no free will, which God gave us, right, then we're going to be nothing more than slaves. And slaves to who? Oh, slaves to the global elite, slaves to the globalist system. And through their technology that they will put in under the skin in people's bodies, people will be slaves to eventually the Antichrist. See, God gives freedom, but Satan enslaves. And so this idea of hacking people is to enslave people. That's what this is all about. And again, I got to make the caveat, you know, we won't be here for the tribulation. I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. But what I'm trying to show you here is this, that they're setting the stage for what's going to go on in the tribulation. This is what they're going to do to people. And again, like we say, sometimes, you know, the closer we are to the tribulation, the more setup we're going to see, right? And so when we can start seeing this implemented in people where they start actually hacking into people possibly, even before the tribulation, right? The setup of it. And so, again, I'm not showing you something that's, you know, may or may not happen. I'm showing you this is what they want to do. It's worse than we thought. Okay? It's worse than we thought. They not only want to control people from the outside, they want to control them from the inside. Right? And the biggest problem Satan has is that human beings have free will. So this technology is going to be used to render that inoperative if we can force feed people to tell them what to think and tell them what to do. This is the way Satan's going to control, and through the Antichrist, obviously, well. Anyway, they go on to talk about, this Harari guy goes on to talk about the easiest people to manipulate are those who believe in free will. Listen to this.
Yeah. And the easiest people to manipulate are the people who believe in free will. Because you manipulate them, and they don't even suspect because, hey, I chose it because this is my free will.
I mean, think about after this, after hearing that video. It's like he's talking about the Matrix in the movie The Matrix, right? That people think they have a real life, but really it's all in their heads because that's what the computers and the algorithms are telling them. And really they're asleep in some biotech cocoon like in Matrix, right? Or something like that. I'm just using that as an analogy, but people will have an altered state of reality basically is what they're saying. And basically these people who think they're free, but they won't, they'll be enslaved by what's in their head and be given an alternative reality. Man, that is evil. That is wicked. And then he goes on, Harari, to talk about fake news. And what he's going to do is talk about how they're going to use technology to destroy fake news. Now, wait a second. Let me qualify this. Fake news to him is the truth. Fake news to us is lies, right? So you got to understand, when he uses the term fake news, it's not the us using that term, it's him. And fake news is the truth, right? And he attacks the Bible, he attacks the resurrection, he attacks anything that's true as fake news. And basically is saying that we're going to use technology to stop people from hearing the truth, or what he calls fake news. And he discredits people like us of spreading disinformation and fake news. He even attacks Trump and said that he doesn't name him by name, but he says you have these political figures, and we know he's talking about Trump, that, he calls them populist politicians, that discredited legitimate institutions like colleges and universities, and discredited scientists and medical doctors, and started conspiracy theories and attacks climate change as a hoax. Well, it is a hoax, dude. And that the experimental jabs are bad. Well, they are bad. he says that these populist politicians discredit legitimate institutions. So what institutions is he talking about? Well, I can name the institutions, but it's going to get me kicked off of YouTube. But you know the legitimate institutions that were discredited by Trump. You know what we're talking about, and I'm not going to name them because you know. But they all have to deal with health organizations, right? They all have to deal with pushing something on us. And so at the end of the day, we know that these things deserve, these institutions deserved being criticized for what they were doing. They were hiding information. They weren't giving the truth out. They were doing this on purpose. So again, remember, he's on their side, not our side. So anyway, he takes an attack on Trump, basically. And then he goes on and he says that we need this technology to protect us from this kind of fake news. So, again, to protect him from the truth and people from the truth. Listen to him on this video. Watch this.
I mean, there is nothing that, I don't know, Joseph Goebbels didn't know about all this idea of fake news and post-truth. He famously said that if you repeat a lie often enough, people will think it's the truth. And the bigger the lie, the better. Mm. Because people won't even think that, something so big can be a lie. And I think that fake news have been with us for thousands of years. Just think of the Bible. But there is...
I mean, all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news.
Wait, that's not true?
To prepare for this kind of world, which is coming sooner, I think, than many people realize, we need an antivirus for the brain, for the mind. Even today, you think about something like fake news. Fake news basically uses our own weaknesses against us. If the hackers, if the bots, they discover by monitoring you that you already have a bias against a particular group of people. So they will show you fake news about that particular group because you have an irresistible urge to click on it. What did they do this time? And you will easily believe the fake news because you have this pre-existing bias. So I want an antivirus for the brain that serves me, not some corporation, that also gets to know me and knows that I have this bias against this group and warns me, watch out, you are being manipulated. And maybe even be authorized to block these kinds of manipulations. And we need help in this era of protecting ourselves from these new kinds of manipulations.
I know that in recent years, we saw populist politicians undermining deliberately the trust that people have in important institutions like universities, like respectable media outlets. These populist politicians told people that, say, scientists are this small elite, disconnected from the real people. You shouldn't believe them. And you had all these conspiracy theories that climate change is just a hoax, it's not real, and that the earth is actually flat, and that vaccination are bad for you, and this spread. But I don't think it's too late. Especially in an emergency, people can change their views very fast, and they can discover hidden reservoirs of trust. You look in this crisis, who do people trust? They trust scientists above everything else. In all countries. In Israel, they close down the synagogues. In Iran, they close the mosques. Churches all over the world are telling people don't come to church. The Pope is doing all these ceremonies on Zoom or YouTube. And why do they do all this? Because the scientists recommended it. Even the religious leaders have trust in the science.
Notice what he said at the end, that the religious leaders now trust the scientists. And you know what? He's right. They do. Because they don't trust God, they trust man. And that's what's happening to even Christianity. You have all these pastors, all these denominations, all of these churches obeying the so-called experts rather than trusting in the scripture. And who are these experts? They say, well, in scientism, the experts can never be wrong. But at the end of the day, we know that some of the scientists flat out lies. They lie for things. So there's no morality with these so-called experts. They will lie to save their skin. They will lie to keep the narrative going. And that's what they do. And so what you end up having is the churches and the pastors and the denominations following these lying expert scientists, trust the science, and not trusting God, not trusting the truth, not even trusting the evidence and the facts. And so this atheist, this Harari, is peddling scientism. That's what it is. It's, again, it's science becomes the religion, and you can't come against the so-called scientific experts. You have to trust them. And it's like, no, I'm sorry, that's a religion. So when you heard him say that the Bible is fake news, that Jesus' resurrection is fake news, guys, that's blasphemy. You know, that's way beyond going after Trump, okay? That's absolute Antichrist-esque, right? You can't say that. That's blasphemy. But that's what the Antichrist spirit does. It blasphemes the God of heaven, blasphemes Jesus, right? And again, like I'm saying, I'm not saying he's the Antichrist, but he's a little Antichrist forerunner, like we see in 1 John 2:18, when John says, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, capital A, even now many Antichrists have come, small a, right? By which we know that it is the last hour. That's what we're saying about this guy. He's a little Antichrist forerunner, little a. But if you want to look at the Antichrist, you look at his forerunners. And what do they look like? What do they say? You're getting a picture of the ultimate Antichrist that's coming in the future. Well, let's delve deeper into the Antichrist just for a moment so we can understand what Harari is saying and what he's doing and how it points to the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 11, verse 26. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods. And notice that. Yeah, that's what Harari does, right? He speaks blasphemies against the God of gods and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. So the Antichrist will be able to prosper for at least 3.5 years, the last half of the tribulation, right? For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the gods of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. And again, pointing to the forerunners of Harari, shall neither regard the gods of his fathers. It's whatever background the Antichrist comes from, he will neither regard it. Well, for instance, and as an example, Harari is Jewish, so he doesn't regard the God of his fathers, which is the God of the Bible, right? Our God. Nor does he have the desire of women. Harari is a homosexual, right? And Harari doesn't regard any God for that point. He believes that humans are gods. He wants to make humans into gods. He believes he's a God, right? So he shall exalt himself above all them all. And that's what Harari's disposition is. Is he's exalting himself above them all. And so that will be like the Antichrist, right? So this Harari guy is for globalism, just like the Antichrist would be. He wants a global government. He believes it's necessary. Again, along with Klaus Schwab and everyone else in this globalist party. And they want to force things on people. They don't like the fact that people can vote, have representation. No, they don't want that. They want a dictatorship with this global government where people are not allowed to vote, don't have a say anything, and have no representation because the global elites think they're gods and believe they know better than everyone else. Harari is that arrogant. He believes he knows better than millions and millions and millions of people. And so they are going to decide how we live. We don't get to vote or have representation. They will be the elite ruling class, and they will tell us what to do. That's Antichrist-esque. But again, watch this video as he talks about the need to have a global government.
But when you have a lose-lose situation, like with climate change,
it's much more difficult without some overarching authority, real authority. Now, how to get there and how would it look like, I don't know. And certainly there is no obvious reason to think that it would look like Denmark or that it would be a democracy. Most likely it wouldn't. We don't have workable democratic models for a global government. So maybe it would look more like ancient China than like modern Denmark. But still, given the dangers that we are facing, I think the imperative of having some kind of real ability to force through difficult decisions on the global level is more important than almost anything else.
And so along with this global government you heard him talk about, he also wants people to have a global loyalty and a global identity to this government. Watch this.
We need some kind of global loyalty and global identity.
And so when you hear him talk like this, it should remind you of Revelation 13. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It's right there. It's a forerunner of what the Antichrist will do in the future. And like I said, the system is being set up now. These guys are the ones developing the system that eventually fall into the hands of the Antichrist. So we're seeing the setup of this, and the mentality is there that we need to have global government and people being to be loyal to the global government and have an identification to the global government. Well, there you go, Revelation 13. Thank you very much, Harari. You have now given us a nice taste of what the Antichrist will do and how he will think. And that's it, man. The dude's evil. Then he goes on to talk about how algorithms will control the financial markets. The buying and selling, right? The credit worthiness, the ability to get loans, all those kinds of things are going to be based on the algorithms. Watch this video of him talking about the digital economy.
An algorithm is able to take into account thousands and thousands of data points, each with a very small weight. And if you ask why the algorithm rejected my request for a loan, so the bank can print out millions of pages of data and tell you, that's why. The algorithm went over all this and calculated that you're not creditworthy. And our minds just can't understand this type of decision making. And it can be on a personal level. It can also be on the level of an entire country. That to decide whether to raise or lower interest rate, for example. It will not be done by a human banker or finance minister. It will be done by an AI. Already today, how many people really understand the financial system? I guess less than 1% of people really understand finance. In 20 years, the number of people who will be able to understand the global financial system will be exactly zero.
And notice what he said. No one will be able to understand the economy. Well, I guess only the elites will. The few who control it will, but the rest of the world won't. And understand, in this digital economy that they're going to go to, it will have a social credit score. Just like China does right now. And in the social credit score, this is how they're going to control your buying and selling. What you're allowed to buy, what you can't buy. You can buy only this. You're limited on how much of this. Whatever. And it's going to have this social credit score. And first of all, it's the ESG score, the environmental, social, governance score. And then you're going to have your DI score, your diversity, inclusion, equity score. It's all in there. It's all woke stuff, right? And so that if you're going to buy and sell in this economy, you have to follow the markers that they give you for their values in the social structure. So if you're like me and you don't do ESG, you don't do diversity, inclusion, equity, then you're going to be on the outs economically. That's what this is all about in the digital economy. And again, this is all part and parcel eventually be handed over to the Antichrist. And so the social credit score, even if they implement it now, but I know into the future it's going to be implemented during the tribulation, it will destroy the wealth of people. It's a guarantee. That's what it's for. The digital currency is not to give everyone equal access and equal money. It's meant to destroy people's wealth and that the wealth go all the way to the top with the elites. That's what it's for. And so this digital economy is going to be in place before even the Antichrist takes over. He just takes over, inherits the system, right? And this digital economy is going to make you and I poor if we're still around. It's going to affect our money. Now, how do I know this? Because if I project out into the tribulation, which we won't be here for, but in the tribulation, Revelation chapter 6, 5 through 6, talking about the third seal being opened, I know where this goes. And it says this, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Well, what's that about? It means that everybody goes poor, okay, because of this stupid digital currency. Everyone goes poor except the ruling elite. How do I know? When it says do not harm the oil and wine, those are luxury items, and the fact that the elite will still have access to everything, the luxury items, whereas the general population on the planet will be dirt poor, will be trying to earn enough money to get one meal per day. That's how bad this gets in the tribulation, and it's at the beginning of the tribulation. It's in the first quarter that it's like that. So if the seal judgment, this third seal, is opened, which is the first quarter of of the first 3.5 years, you could be as far into it as a year and 4 or 5 months, something like that, to where that's happening already. So what does that tell you? It tells me that there's going to be more of a run-up to get to that state when you're only a year and a half, possibly year, you know, into the tribulation, where you're having massive economic disaster. Like I've said, the longer we're here and not raptured, the more we're going to see the setup. I mean, they're already talking about implementing the digital currency by the end of this year. We'll see. I don't know. But that's what they say. If that happens, then it's going to start. It's going to start the stealing of wealth. You'll have the biggest transfer of wealth happen once the whole world goes digital. Okay? So, we should expect that. Possibly in our lifetime. Again, we could be raptured tonight and not see anything, right? But the longer we're here, the more you're going to see. And so that's what they're wanting to do. It's basically to destroy the prosperity of everybody. So when you project into the future, read Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, talking about the Antichrist. He says, look, he shall destroy many in their prosperity. If the Antichrist is destroying prosperity, then know that the system will destroy prosperity even before he gets a hold of it. That's the whole point. So they're looking to destroy our money, our wealth. That's the idea. And Yuval Harari is right there behind it. And like Harari said, to have this technological digital dictatorship come true, then Charlie, Oscar, Victor, Igloo, Delta was critical to the implementation of it. To get it going. Because he says it is what legitimizes it for people to accept a total biometric surveillance. Right? Look at what people did worldwide. They didn't fight back. They did exactly what they were told. And allow this biometric surveillance that's not going to be just put on the skin, but under the skin. Listen to what he says.
What we have seen so far, it's corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin.
We now see mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries, which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin. Governments want to know not just where we go or who we meet. Above all, they want to know what is happening under our skin. What's our body temperature? What's our blood pressure? What is our medical condition?
And so what he has said in that video is sinister. It's very evil. A surveillance under the skin. Basically, we're going to transition to digital dictatorships. And that watershed moment was the Charlie Oscar Victor Igloo Delta, right? It's evil. Again, these kinds of ideas of surveillance under the skin, that could only be sourced in Satan. Harari's not smart enough to come up with that idea. That's pure evil, but that comes from the demonic, satanic realm, giving them the idea. When you see that the Antichrist destroys prosperity, and they have the intent to destroy prosperity, that's what you're seeing. I want to show you another passage. This is Daniel chapter 8. This is verse 23 and 25. I want to show you this because it lends support to what you're seeing with Harari and the rest of the globalists. And again, it's talking about the Antichrist. So let's read that. It says, a king shall arise. The king is obviously the Antichrist, okay? Having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. So what you're seeing in this passage, what is being emphasized is he has a fierce countenance, the Antichrist does. And he understands dark sentences is the way you can translate that. What does that mean? It means he will have satanic supernatural abilities from the occult world to solve problems. Okay? And those problems are typically caused by him. Okay? So this is what the tactics of Satan is to cause a problem and then come in because of dark sentences and supernatural satanic abilities to solve the problem. So basically it's Satan solving his own problem that he created. Okay. So you see that in Saul Alinsky's, tactics and the left's tactics, never let a crisis go to waste. And they're the ones who caused the crisis, right? They're the ones who caused it. And then they come with a solution to solve it. But the solution causes more tyranny. It causes more dictatorship. It causes more enslavement of people to solve the problem. Well, that's what the Antichrist will be able to do because he has occultic powers. He has occultic knowledge that comes from Satan that shows him how to solve the world's problems that Satan created. And so with Harari as an example, where in the world is he getting all these ideas to solve so-called man's problems, right? Of equity or man's problem of dying. What's the thing? Oh, because we're going to turn humans into cyborgs and so they never will die. You see what I'm saying? That death is a problem. And yet he's going to solve this problem by becoming a god and making us cyborgs or whatever. You know, he starts taking on the idea of being a creator. And with economic problems, they're going to say we need to go to a digital currency. Well, of course, they're the ones who caused the economic problems. Right now, Joe Biden has caused America's economic problems. But it's not just, he's not coming up with his thoughts. Evil is putting that into the minds of the global elites and the ones that control all the power that tell Joe Biden what to do. And he's just following orders. But where are these global elites getting this idea of killing fossil fuels, messing up the supply chains and provoking Russia? Where are they getting this idea? From Satan. Satan causes the problems and then he comes up with a solution to the problem. And it just means simply more control. That's the idea with the Antichrist, but that's what you're seeing in these other Antichrist-esque types of individuals that are on the scene now. So notice back in verse 25, it states that the Antichrist is going to be characterized by craftiness and deceit. And this is important to understand, because when these little forerunners come up, they're crafty and they're deceitful. They lie. And so the Antichrist will eventually use the lying and deceitfulness to lull rulers into a sense of false security and take advantage of them for the purpose of uprooting them, okay? So with Harari and other people like him, he is using craftiness and deceit to give people a sense of false security, that if we could just go to this new mechanism of surveillance under the skin, of data collecting, then it will make your life better. It will make you superhuman. It will give you the ability to live longer and make, like he says, give eternal life. And so in his craftiness, in his deceitfulness, there's a false sense of giving people false security and false peace. And that's how they do it. That's how they work it. So like, for instance, they're going to come to us and say, you know what? The economy is all messed up. Got supply chain problems. You know, the dollar's being destroyed. Inflation, yada, yada, yada. All the excuses why. And like Biden's going to say, Russia, Russia, Russia. They're going to give people a sense of false security and peace by saying, so folks, we're going to go to a digital currency and this is going to solve all our problems. And everyone's going to say, all right, go for it. And what they don't realize is when you step over that, you have lost your freedom at that point when they control the currency. But they're going to do it by giving people, and the average person out there doesn't even know what they're doing, doesn't have any clue, and will say, sure, no problem. And they will hand over their rights and their freedoms to the globalist system. So what does this all mean? Well, when you see people like Harari, an Antichrist-esque, an oracle for the Antichrist, so to speak, that means we're getting close. We already see how they intend to use technology on us to usher in the global government and turn everyone into a slave of the system. Okay, when you read the book of Revelation and Daniel and other prophecy passages, you see the markers of where we end up. But you and I have the privilege of seeing the setup of why they do what they do and how they get to those markers. And that's the privilege that you and I have to see. And people say, it's kind of bittersweet because people longed for thousands of years to see how would this come about, and you and I get to see it. But it's very disgusting. It's very evil. It's very hard to stomach. So it's kind of like a bittersweet thing. But we are a privileged generation in order to see how they intend to get there, right? And so basically what you're seeing is they will use a technocratic global system that controls everybody on the face of the planet with algorithms. And so why does Satan need technology? Well, it's real simple. Why does the Antichrist need technology? It's real simple. Because they're not God. Only God is omnipotent. Only God is omniscient. Only God is omnipresence. Satan lacks the three omnis. And so does the Antichrist. Now think about omnipotence. God is so powerful that he can allow freedom of will for human beings and even angels. But Satan, for him to be in control, he cannot allow freedom of human beings, so he has to use technology to make them slaves. Furthermore, God is omniscient. He knows all. Satan is not. So Satan uses technology to put information into the human body to gain information about people, how they're thinking, what they're feeling, because he's not omniscient. So he has to use technology to become somewhat omniscient. But again, it falls short of what God is, right? And lastly, omnipresent. God is everywhere, right? Everything can be brought in God's presence. But Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere and see all things. And that's why he not only uses his fallen angels and demons, but he's going to use technology to be omnipresent through the algorithms. The algorithms, how they set those algorithms up, will give a sense of omnipresence to the beast system. And so it's amazing when you watch this that it took technology us to get here at this point for Satan to be able to implement his system, because without technology, Satan cannot have any forms of omnipotence, omniscience, or omnipresence. And again, his thing through technology is extremely limited. It is not like God's. But my point is, he's going to use technology to be like God. And the Antichrist will use technology to be like God. What a joke. To not know their limitations, to not accept how they were created, but to want more. And the only way you can want more is to use technology. That's what's really happening. Anyway, that's how Satan is going to attempt to try to be like God through technology. So folks, consider yourself very privileged to see how it's unfolding, to see the setup. But that comes with great responsibility, as you know. We have now more responsibility than any Christian generation ever because we see how the dots connect. Okay, since that's the case, we got to warn people. We got to warn people of Yuval Harari. We got to warn people about what he's planning to do through the globalist system. How they want to put surveillance in our skin, which leads up to the mark of the beast eventually in the tribulation. We got to see how he's going to enslave people, how they want to enslave people through technology, through algorithms. You won't be able to buy and sell in the digital currency without the algorithms. And so we need to tell people that in order to be a springboard to get people saved. And then we got to wake up Laodicea. That's the big problem we're having. Most Christians don't have a clue that this is even happening. If you mentioned Yuval Harari, they would say, I don't know who you're talking about. And unfortunately, it's because they bury their head in the sand. The Laodiceans are only concerned about their lives and what affects them. They don't think outside the box. They don't see the bigger plan because they're spiritually asleep. They have went spiritually asleep, and therefore they don't know what's going on. They can't know. So we got to wake them up. And the only way you wake people up is with the truth. And again, you're going to get a pushback from the Laodiceans. I get it. They're going to say you're a nut job, you're conspiracy theory, and you're listening to that crazy guy Brandon probably again. But that's okay. Here's the thing. If they want to stay asleep, they'll stay asleep. If they want to wake up, they'll wake up with the information you give them. And that's all we can do.